fish. The idea over here is that a person would go ahead, if wanted to roast a piece of fish, you'd roast it on a piece of metal. But if you'd roast the fish directly on the metal, the fish would burn. So what you would do is you would take an earthenware shard, you would go ahead and take a piece of paper and put it underneath the fish on top of the metal. So you can't go ahead and do that on Yom Tov. And Rashi points out, because you're fashioning it into a kli. Ve'in garfin tanor v'kirayim. Similarly, you can't go ahead and clean out an oven or a stove. This is talking about from, let's say, the soot, or from the ash, or from the coals. The idea behind that is that this is what's called machshirei ochel nefesh. So machshirei ochel nefesh means that food preparatory activities, that not direct food preparatory activities, but preparatory activities that enable you to go and engage in ochel nefesh. So the halacha is that things like that that could have been done prior to Yom Tov must be done prior to Yom Tov. So therefore, again, you could have done that before Yom Tov. Therefore, you can't do it on Yom Tov itself. Aval nechabshin. However, what you can do is you can press down. You can level out. You can level the pile of ash or of coal that ultimately would be in the stove to enable you to cook. Ve'in makifin shtei chavios lishpos aleim esakadera. Similarly, you can't go ahead and line up two barrels on top of each other and place a pot on top of them. Now, the reason they would do this would be really in order to cook. So essentially what you're doing is you're arranging your barrels pretty much as a stovetop. You can't go ahead and do that on Yom Tov. However, so we'll see why again. We'll discuss that why. Similarly, you can't go ahead and support the pot on top of a piece of wood. V'chin b'delas, similarly a door. Now, we don't know what that door case is. It sounds like what it's saying is you can't support a door. Although we'll see, in fact, if that's what really the Gemara is saying. Furthermore, ve'ein manhigin es habehema b'makil b'yom tov. You cannot lead an animal with a staff, with a stick on Yom Tov. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon actually allows for this particular practice to go ahead and to lead an animal with a staff. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, my taima, what's the reason why you can't go ahead and... Why you can't go ahead and cut the paper or break the pottery shard to go ahead and use it to roast the fish, to which the Gemara says, Mishum dekometakin mone, because at the end of the day, you are fixing a utensil. So the idea is, or not fixing as much, as creating a utensil. The act of cutting the piece of paper or breaking the pottery shard is in and of itself an act of creating a utensil. Ve'in garfin taner v'kirayim, and you can't go ahead and clean out the ash from the stove or from the oven. Tani Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef Kamid Rav Nachman Vim Efshar Le'efos. Also remember we explained before, because that's what's called Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. That's called preparatory activities that allow you to engage in Ochel Nefesh. Those things must be done prior to Yom Tov. Therefore, however, the Gemara says, but if you can't cook, let's say again there's so much ash in the stove, in the oven, that you can't cook. In that kind of circumstance, Vim Efshar Le'efos Ela Imkin Garfal Mutter. Then if there's so much ash that you can only cook in there, if you clean out the ash, then you're permitted to do so. So the Gemara tells a story. The visu Rabbi Chia nafal le'aricha b'tanura b'yamatava. The wife of Rabbi Chia had the following circumstance. Well, an aricha, well, it says sa'aricha, Rashi says, is a chatzi levena. It's a half a brick. So a half a brick fell out from the wall of the stove into the stove itself. So what happened? So Amarli Rabbi Chia, so now she wanted to go ahead and clean out the brick, but obviously cleaning out the brick would entail removal of the ash from the stove, which of course is problematic on Yom Tov, to which Rabbi Chia said to her, Amarli Rabbi Chia, Chazi da'ana rifta ma'al yasa v'ina. See, you know that I only like good bread. Or in other words, what he was telling her was that understand you're allowed to do it. Why? Because in order for you to be able to bake the bread on Yom Tov properly, you have to remove that brick, even if it comes with some of the ash, and therefore, because it has an ochel, direct ochel nefesh purpose, you're permitted to go out and do it. Only Rava Leshame, similarly, Rava said to his attendant, Tavi li bar avza, do me a favor and roast me a duck. Ve'izdaher mecharucha, but be very careful that it does not get burned. Rashi says, when there's a second one line in Rashi, Ve'izdaher mecharucha, shlo yisrachich, make sure that the duck doesn't burn. Kilomar garofes hatanor shelo yehebo b'shulav davar gavoa kmo ariach o'evan shehosak b'tanor shelo geav b'sliv esarfo. So what he was telling his attendant was, clean out the oven, go ahead and remove any kind of additional substances in the oven, because otherwise if something comes in contact with the duck while it's roasting, the duck will burn. The duck will burn. So we'll say these are just stories that are illustrative of the fact, of the principle that was stated before, that as much as you're not allowed to go ahead and clean out the oven on Yom Tov, because it could have been done before Yom Tov, if it will impact your Ochel Nefesh purposes, then you're permitted to go ahead and do it. Amar Ravina Rav Ashi. Ravina said to Rav Ashi, Amar Lan Rav Acha Mehutzel. Rav Acha from Hutzel said the following, Dimar Sarkon or Sarkin Le Tanura B'Yom Tov. So Mar, we'll say Mar over here means Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi used to go ahead and coat the opening of the oven with mud on Yom Tov. And I will say what he would do is Rashi points this out. They would coat the opening of the oven with mud in order to go ahead and keep the heat within the oven. Now here's the issue. The issue is that the usage of mud as a sealant would often require what's called lush. Now let me take it back. How do you make mud? How do you make mud? You go ahead and you take dirt, you take water, you knead it, and you have mud. So the act of kneading is a malacha on Yom Tov, lush. So they're asking, how did Rav Ashi allow for this particular practice when at the end of the day, the creation of mud requires kneading? So the Gemara says, Amar Lei Anan Araksa Depras Sanchinon. We rely on the mud from the banks of the Euphrates River. Or in other words, Baruch Hashem, we don't have to create our own mud. Right? The mud's there. The mud's there. The honey mealy, but that only works when? The honey mealy who did Sere Me Esmo. That only works, of course, is if you designated that mud yesterday. So, but many Eriyam. Obviously, again, mud by itself will just be Muktzah. So, the only way it would work to go ahead and use the mud for a particular practice would be when? Would be if you actively went ahead and designated or demarcated that particular mud already on Eriyam. Amar Ravina just adds in over here. The kit mashari, to go ahead and knead ashes, meaning if you wanted to make like an ash type of paste, let's say to go ahead and seal in the oven, that would be okay. Why? Because apparently ashes don't knead well. Like they don't really form a thicker substance, therefore there's no issue of lush, there'd be no issue of kneading it on Yom Tov. Okay, says the Gemara, Ve'in makif et shtei chavios. You may not go ahead and, remember what the Mishnah said, take two barrels, put a pot on top of them, and go ahead and cook the pot on top of the barrels. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Avonim shal bisaki say mutar letzadadan biyom tov. Now, Rav Nachman comes along and says, what can you do? You can make for yourself literally stones of a beis hakiseh. Beis hakiseh is a bathroom. Now, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Avonim shal beis hakiseh. It's five lines up from the bottom of the page in Rashi. So essentially what Gemara is talking about over here is making a very rudimentary toilet seat. You would go ahead and you take two large stones, you'd place them at a certain distance from each other, and a person would sit on top of that to take care of their needs. So the Gemara says you're permitted to go ahead and do that on Yom Tov. Esvei Rabba Rav Nachman. So Rabbi raises a kasha. Ein makifin shtei chavios lishpos alein esakadera. Yet we learned in the Mishnah that what? You may not take two barrels, a pot on top of them. The Rabbi will say, what's the shayla over here? The shayla over here is lishpos alein esakadera. Right? Amarle, shiny hasa mishum de ka'avid ola. The Rabbi will say, here's what's interesting. So what Rabbi was doing is, Rabbi seemed to be equating, You close it if you want. Close it if you don't switch it. Just close it. You have to make such a big deal. So the Gemara says, so what Rav is asking a kasha on Rav Nachman. And what Rav is saying is like this. And I both say the assumption over here is that the problem with the putting the pot on top of the two barrels is an issue of creating an ohel, right? You have the two barrels on the sides, and the placement of the pot on top of it essentially constitutes a roof. So what Rav is asking is, this act of creating the toilet seat, so to speak, is also creating a roof. You have the two large stones, you sit on top of those two stones, and is that in essence also not creating an ohel? To which, and yet, again, that's permitted. To which he responds, Amar Leit, to which Rav Nachman responds, no. Shiny hasa mishum de ka'avid ohalo. the difference over here is that the case of the two barrels is mamish a case of creating an ohel. Amali Rabba Zutul Ravashi. So Rabba Zut is a Ravashi. If that's the case, Elame Ata Bana, it's the Biyomto. The low of it, Oala. Hachanani Deshari. Are you telling me then that the only time that it's problematic to construct something on Yom Tov is when it's an ohel, but if it's not an ohel, it's going to be okay? So for example, if you were to build an itztava, I will say Rashi points out, an itztava is a large chair made of stone that's attached to the ground. So this itztava doesn't have anything hollowed out on the bottom, it's just a solid base. So you're telling me then that to build an itztava on Yom Tov would be okay? The law of it all. Hachanami Deshari. Armalei Hasam Binyan Keva Asra Torah, Binyan Arai Lo Asra Torah. So to which Rav Nachman Sanz Nara, understand, what the Torah prohibited was the building of a more permanent structure, a temporary structure the Torah did not prohibit. The Gazu Rabbanon Al Binyan Arai Mishum Binyan Keva. And the idea is, the rabbi says, so Midda Araisa, the only issue or the only prohibition of building is building a permanent structure. Building a non-permanent structure is not problematic, but the rabbis made a decree, the rabbis made a gzerah, that you may not build a temporary structure, lest you what? Come to build a permanent structure. But yet, by the case of the two stones for the toilet seat, the Gemara says, v'hacha mishum kivodo lo gazra be'rabanan. But in the case, again, of the two stones, the toilet seat, then chazal were not gozer. Okay? Amar Rav Yehuda, hay medurasa. I will say, if a person wants to go ahead and build a bonfire, so the idea over here is what? The bonfire, this is on Yom Tov. So how are you building a Madura? So I'll say, a Madura, Rashi points out, was a Rashi says, Hesek Godel, Sha'osin lefnei saran kiderach binyan, Osin lo ksalan medalad ruchos, v'sojron eitzim milamala v'doma lo'oel. So literally when you would make, I guess you'd call it the pyre, for the bonfire, you would construct it in a complicated way. You'd build up on the walls, then you'd put logs across the top. So literally, it's like building a structure. So the Gemara says, if you want to build a bonfire on Yom Tov, you milamala lemata shari, milamata lemala aser. Essentially, you have to build it with a shinoi. If you build it bottom up, then it's aser, because that would be an act of binyan. If you were to build it top down, how would you build it top down, Avosai? So if you hold the top pieces of wood in place, and then someone else comes along and places the pieces below that, and someone else places the pieces below that, essentially, you're building it with a profound shinui, then that would be permitted. Tap of Lamed Gimel. V'chin Be'asa. Rabbi says, Machlokes Rashi tells us exactly what this case is. But for our purposes today, if you were to go ahead and, let's say, same thing, make a stack of eggs, where you want to also create almost like a roof-like entity. So the mice, again, same thing, you'd have to go ahead and build that with the shinui as well, starting with the roof and essentially building under it. The Chain Purya, similarly, if you're going to construct a bed, Rashi says over here, actually no Rashi over here, I'm sorry, I skipped one. The Chain Kedera, similarly a pot. Now, this is the case in the Mishnah. Rashi says, the Chain Kedera, Shemoshivin al Beis Chavios, Lo Yasenu Kisei, I'm sorry, Lo Yakafenu Tchila, So too, if you want to go ahead and place a pot on top of two barrels to essentially make a rudimentary stove, what you need to do is what? First hold the pot and then bring the barrels in underneath. Again, the idea of the Gemara saying over here is that whenever you have to do something that has the appearance of building or that may be even a quasi-building, you just have to employ a shinui. And the greatest shinui is just a reversal of the steps. The Chain Purya, similarly a bed, Rashi points out over here that this is talking about a bed that was made of multiple pieces. And this bed, actually, the legs of the bed are not like legs that we have today, where it's just like a set, a post, thank you. But rather, again, they were solid planks of wood. So when you built this, it looked like you were building a structure. Same idea. You start with essentially putting the mattress down first, and then put the walls, so to speak, underneath it. V'chein chavisa. And similarly with the barrel. Rashi points out over here, when you were arranging barrels within, let's say, a storehouse, so often what they would do is, they would have two barrels and then one barrel on top of it. So you have to hold the barrel on top and then bring the other two under it. So the Rosh Hashanah, the common denominator in all of those cases is that lemaisa, these are things that have the appearance or that are in a certain degree an ohel. And whenever you're going to be building something that resembles a structure in any way, you just have to employ a shinui in the construction of it on Yom Tov. V'chein bedelas. So the Mishnah says similarly with a door. So the Gemara says bedelas sakadaitcha. Are you telling me again? Now I'll say now what the Mishnah seemed to be saying was that you also can support a pot with a door. So the Gemara says that we're talking about ele'ima v'chein hadelas. Rather, no. What we're saying ultimately is that you may not support a door with wood. I will say, now what is the Mishnah coming to teach me? The Mishnah is reflecting that holds that wood may only be carried on Yom Tov. For what purpose? For the purpose of kindling. But wood, that's the only purpose wood serves on Yom Tov. And therefore, again, if you need some wood to support your door, not go ahead and move wood on Yom Tov for the sake of supporting the door. Okay? Ten Rabbanan. You can't go ahead and support the pot with wood. And similarly, a door. Why? In all these cases where you want to use wood, I guess, to prop up or to hold something up. So the Mishnah says you may not do this. Why? Because wood, the only license you have to move wood on Yom Tov is for the sake of kindling. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon says it's permitted. Because also Rabbi Shimon takes a more relaxed view. Gosh, this is the Leslie Mukta. He has a more relaxed view of Mukta in general, and therefore allows you to go ahead and move the wood for any permitted purpose on Yom Tov. And you may not lead an animal with the staff on Yom Tov. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Matir. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon allows it. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Kabu Asfir Alei. It would appear that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon holds like his father, the Leslie Mukta. And that's why, again, apparently, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon allows you to go ahead and lead the animal with the staff, because he must hold that the staff is not mukta, therefore it's permitted to do so. So Gemara says, no. Lo, b'ha afidu Rabbi Shimon mode. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees, in this case, with the Tana Kama, that what? That you may not lead an animal with a staff on your own. Why not? Mishum demechse kiman da'azu l'chinga. Because it has the appearance of one who is taking the animal to the marketplace. Because the idea is, when would you use a staff to lead an animal? Rosh is only when you are leading the animal for long distances. So it has the appearance as one who is leading the animal to sell the animal on Yom Tov, which of course is problematic. So therefore, even Rabbi Shimon, who has a more relaxed view of Muktzah, would disagree with his son, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, because this is not really a din in Muktzah. This is almost a din like in Marasayim, that it has the appearance that you're going to conduct business, and therefore you may not do it on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, Chizra. So Rashi says Chizra over here. Chizra, Rashi says, Anaf Eitz Shuchad. It's a branch of a tree that is sharp, kikot like a thorn. Veroi litak ol bitzli, kimon shipur velitzlospo. So we'll say this is a piece of wood that essentially can be used as a spit, So Rav Nachman Amar Rav Aser. Rav Nachman says, you may not go ahead and, now we'll say, what we're talking about over here is that, let's say you see this piece of wood lying on the ground, and he has a sharpened, and you realize, oh, I could use it as a spit. Now, why do I need a spit on Yom Tov? Because remember, you are permitted to roast meat. You're permitted to cook on Yom Tov, so it's wonderful. I'm going to use it to roast my meat on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says over here, Rav Nachman says it's aser. Rav Nachman says you may not use it on Yom Tov. Rashi says of Rav Nachman aser, B'Yom Tov mishum demuktzenin hu l'taltel, shalo asa'u l'klimi ba'od yom. Because Rav Nachman says it's mukta wine, because you had not fashioned it into a utensil prior to Yom Tov. But Rav Sheshes says that it's mutter. Okay, so we'll say, I think we're going to define the scope of this machlokes. Beritiva kuli amalo pligi da aser. If the wood itself is moist, everyone agrees that what? That it's going to be aser. Look at Rashi, Beritiva. She'eno roi letaltlo afilo lahasaka. Because we'll say, again, remember, at the end of the day, when wood is moist, it's not usable for anything. We're actually not usable for anything. It's not usable for fire. So therefore, again, if it's not usable technically for kindling, everyone will agree that it's aser. So keep ligi, when do they argue? Biaveshta. When it's dry, man to aser, the one who says that it's aser, i.e. Rav Nachman, amar l'chalo nitnu eitzim ela lahasaka. Rav Nachman echoing, that's been quoted now a number of times, that the only usage for wood on Yom Tov is what? Is fire. It's fire. And therefore again, Rav Nachman will say, that to use wood for any other purpose on Yom Tov, is not permitted. So to go ahead and use it as a spit, that's not permitted. It can only be moved for the sake of kindling. Oman Dishari, and the opinion who says that no, you are permitted to use this piece of wood. Rav Sheshes, Amar Lacha Mali Litzlos Bo, Mali Litzlos Begachalto. What does it matter if you're using the spit for coal itself, or you're using the spit to go ahead and roast? Meaning, what Rav Sheshes will say is, at the end of the day, you are using it for cooking purposes. What does it matter if I'm using it for fuel or I'm using it for a spit? The idea is that wood is only to be used for cooking. The part of the cooking process for which I use it should be irrelevant. Igeda Amri, others explain. Biaveshta kuli amalo pligi deshari. Everyone agrees, there's another version over here, where everyone agrees that if the wood is dried out, it is permitted. Ki pligi beritivasa. When do they argue? When do they argue? They argue when the wood is moist. Man to aser de lo chazi la hasaka. The one who says that you can't move it, i.e. Rav Nachman, who says that it's aser because moist wood is not fit for kindling. And Rav Nachman is of the opinion that you can only move wood on Yom Tov for the sake of kindling. Uman Dishari, the one who permits it, Amar Lecha would say to you, Hai ha chazi lehesik godol. It is usable. It is usable for a fire. What kind of fire, Rav Osai? A large fire. Remember again, moist wood is not usable, let's say, for a small little campfire, but it would be usable for a larger bonfire. The Hilchasa, and Rav Osai, what is the halacha? Yavesh Tashari, the dry piece of wood, is permitted. So you can go ahead and pick up the piece of dried wood. Ritivasa asur. But again, if the wood is moist and therefore technically not usable for any kind of cooking purpose, then lemaisa, again, it is going to be asur. Okay.
And the logic behind this is because it is still used for cooking purposes. Correct.
That is correct. Correct. So the Gemara says, because once it's yaveshta, then by definition, that is wood that is fit. That is wood that is fit for fuel. And therefore, again, we seem to take the logic. What does it matter if you're using it for the actual fire or you're using it ultimately as the spit? You're using it for cooking.
What does it mean that you can make it into a chalas and then cook with it?
Where are you looking?
You mean just cook it or just use it as fire?
No, it means you can use it as a fuel. I mean, the way that you cook with wood is that the wood itself turns into what the Gemara calls a gacheles, calls it a coal. You don't cook with the wood as soon as it's thrown into the fire. You only cook with it once it turns into this gacheles. So the Gemara says the line, Darash Rava, Isha lo tikanes ledir eitzim, litol mehen ud. A woman should not walk into dir eitzim, Rabosai means the enclosure that contains the wood, to go ahead and take litol mehen ud, to take from it an ud. An ud, Rabosai, is literally a poker. Right, in this it means like for a spit. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Not yet. So I'm sorry. Similarly, if you have a spit or this poker that broke, you may not use it for fuel on Yom Tov. Why? Lefi shemasikin bekelim ve'in masikin b'shirei kelim. Because you can fuel a fire with utensils, but you may not fuel a fire with broken utensils. And also remember, we've seen the back and forth with this already through the last couple of plot in terms of we saw three mechlokas yesterday in terms of what to do regarding muktza. So this Gemara is just echoing one of those particular opinions that you could go ahead and use kelim because kelim themselves are fit for fuel at the onset of Yom Tov, but shivrei kelim were not fit at the onset of Yom Tov. Lememra, dirava kirabi hu desfirale. Is that to say that Rabbah holds like Rabbi Huda, who holds the Islay Mukta, who holds that there is a concept of Mukta? V'ha'omer Rabbah l'shameh, but yet Rabbah said to his attendant, Tavi li bar avza, do me a favor and roast for me a duck, v'shadi me'eha l'shunra, and just throw its intestines to the cat. And I will say, now what's the chap of this? Look at Rashi. V'shadi me'eha l'shunra, give the intestines to the cats. Hashleich b'nei me'ayim l'chatul. Throw the intestines to the cat. Rabbi Huda asr. And also, according to Rabbi Huda, who has a stricter view of mukta, such an act would be asr. Why? Asr l'taltalo ulesito lechatul d'me esmo muchan la'adam haya below the klavim. The asr. And also, according to Rabbi Huda would say like this. Rabbi Huda would actually hold that lemaisa to go ahead and try to give the intestines to the cat would be asr. Why? Because like this, at the onset of Yom Tov, when those intestines were in the duck, So people would eat duck intestines. They would eat it. But I guess the way you'd eat it, it's kishka. It's kishka. But people would only eat kishka when what? When there was nothing else. So meaning it's not, today it's a delicacy, right? But the idea is that at the onset of Yom Tov, this was fit for human consumption. Once you remove it from the duck, after the duck has been slaughtered, then already people wouldn't normally eat it, they throw it to animals. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't actually not be able to handle the intestines on Yom Tov, because at Bein HaShemashos, at the onset of Yom Tov, they were set aside for human consumption. Now they're going ahead and they're going to be used for animal consumption. So you've changed the state. You can't do that according to Rabbi Yehuda. Yet Rava says, Rava is instructing his servant to do so, which indicates that Rava does not hold like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Moktza. To which the Gemara says, Hasam kevan de misarchi me'etmol daite iluya. To which the Gemara answers, look at Rashi, kevan de misarchi im yanichim l'tzorech machar, because here, since he knew already at the onset of Yom Tov, that what? That he was going to shecht this duck, and he already knew that he was going to go ahead and not eat the intestines. And a person also realizes that lamaisi, you can't leave the intestines on the side until after Yom Tov, then eat them then, because they'll go bad, they'll spoil. Rashi says, "Im yanichim l'tzorech machar v'hayom lo hayatzorech lahem me'etmol daite iluyahu lashlicham lechatul." Essentially, what the Gemara answers is that in this case, Rava's intent was already from yesterday to go ahead and give it to the cat. And therefore, because it was his intent yesterday, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that in such a situation, we had explicit intent to give the intestines to the cat at the onset of the Bein HaShemashos of Yom Tov. Therefore, the Maaseh does not become Mukta, and you'd be permitted to give it to the cat. Says the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer says, No tell Adam kisim mishalafanav. Lachzos bo shina. Rabbi will say an interesting case. A person could go ahead and take a kisim. Kisim is like not a twig. It's even smaller than a twig. I guess we'll call it like a splinter, but not like a splinter. If you can imagine like a toothpick size piece of wood. So what happens? Rabbi Eliezer says a person could take a kisim mishalafana from in front of him, lachzov bo shinov, to go ahead and use as a toothpick. Now what's the case? Look at Rashi. No to Adam Kisim Mishalafanav, Mimashalafanav Babayis. Now we'll say what they're talking about over here is I can take a piece of wood that is in my house. It's lying on the floor of my house, and I want to go ahead and take this piece of wood and use it as a toothpick. Rashi says, Lachtos bo shinov, Lital basar achotzeitz ben shinov, Mishalafanav lav davka. So we'll say, okay, we can read the rest of this. We can do the rest of this outside. So we'll see, by the way, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, he actually doesn't need to state this case of Shalafanav. We'll see in just a moment. Back to the Mishnah. Umegavev min achotzer. And you can go ahead, and also megavev ravosa means you can go ahead and collect from your courtyard. This is your chotzer. Megavev min achotzer. Madlik. And use it for kindling. So in other words, Rabbi Lezer is telling me two things. Rabbi Lezer essentially is telling me that any wood that's in my chatzir or any wood that's in my house, I can use for whatever purpose I want. So Rabbi Lezer is stating two things. First of all, he's saying, number one, that wood can be used for other purposes other than kindling on Yom Tov. And number two, all the wood that's in my house, like actively in my house, or for that matter, again, in my yard, is usable to me on Yom Tov. So I could go ahead and pick up that he's talking about over here, little splinters of wood, little pieces of wood. I could pick it up if I want to use it as a toothpick. I can pick it up if I want to use it as a fire for the fire. No problem. Why? Because Rabbi Lezer's possession is whatever is in the chatzar, whatever is in your courtyard. And according to Rabbi Lezer, your courtyard includes your courtyard and your house, is muchan, is prepared for Yom Tov use. The Chachamim say, Megabev mishalafanav umadlik. And the Chachamim saying that you may collect wood from in front of you, and you can use it for what?
Fire.
And you can use it for fire. And I will say, the Chachamim are arguing on two points over here. Look at Rashi. The Chachamim omrim megavev mishalafanav umadlik, ava minachotzer lo, hoil v'dakin hein v'torach l'koshon me'etmo, lav lahachi kaimi, u'dika'amrit notol kisin lachzol shinov me'esmo, anon islan da'af mishalafanav lo yitol el lahadlip, the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Eliezer on two points. Number one, the Chachamim say, Wood can only be gathered for kindling purposes. That's number one. There is no other use for wood on Yom Tov except for fire. So you can go ahead and you can gather it on Yom Tov for fire. That's number one. Number two, the license for gathering only applies to what? Wood that's in your house. But wood that's in your chatzar requires too much tircha, requires too much effort to gather, and therefore you may not do it. So that's the chachamim. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, O emotzin esa'or, you may not produce fire on Yom Tov. Lo mina eitzin, not from wood. Lo mina avanim, not from stones. Lo mina upper, not from dirt. So apparently, again, there was certain dirt that was considered to be more combustible. Lo mina rafim, not from tiles. Not from tiles. This would be if you would heat up tiles. Lo mina mayim, not from water. What it's talking about over here is really, again, it's if you were to heat up water through a glass, right, through a lens. So that glass ultimately itself would become hot. You can't go ahead and start a fire from that glass. Nor may you heat up a tile on Yom Tov to go. If you can imagine, it's like an earthenware tile. If you keep it in the sun, it can get very hot. You can't heat up a tile for the purpose of roasting on it on Yom Tov. Now, also, I just want to point out something very interesting. Rashi says over here, mishum demolit, because you are creating something. Now, if we have time at the end of this year, I'll come back to this, because this notion of creating fire on Yom Tov and what exactly the problem with it is subject to much dispute, which we'll discuss. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said the following, Ochlei behema, ein bahen mishum tikun kli. An interesting statement. Ochlei behema means animal food. Animal food is not subject to the prohibition, or is not subject to, or I should say differently, there's no issue of making a kli, making a utensil, out of animal food. Now, I will say, look at Rashi. What does this mean? Rashi is ochlei behema kagon kash va'alekanim. So, for example, like straw or leaves of reeds. Ein bahem mishum tikun kli. If you fashion something out of these items, it's not halachically problematic. It's not called fashioning a utensil. Umutar liktom uletakin kash shalshi balen b'shabbos lach soshiyam. Now, I will say, now, what's this? What does it mean? How would you be fashioning straw into a kli? I made it into a toothpick. If I take a piece of straw and I fashion it into a toothpick, so the mice again, there's no issue of creating a kli on Yom Tov if I do this. Now, what's the logic behind that, Rabosai? So the Ran and others point out that the idea over here is that the Rush pointed out, really primarily, even Tosas points this out, that's the real truth, that since these items are rakim, since these items are soft, therefore, by definition, I'll quote you from the Rush, it says, Kevan Shem Rakim, Einon ru'uyim la'asos mehem kli. That since these items by definition are soft, they're soft, anything you make from that has by definition an impermanent status. Therefore, to fashion something out of any food that an animal would eat is not considered to be a problem of fashioning a kli on Yom Tov. Esei Rav Kahana Rav Yehuda. Rav Kahana raises a kash and he says like this, Metaltlin atzei b'samim l'hariach bohen. You can go ahead and you can carry atzei b'samim. Aromatic or fragrant types of wood, of spices. Now, again, but in these cases, B'samim is talking about things like that are tree-like, branch-like, to smell them, and to wave them in front of a person who's ill. I guess it was felt to be therapeutic that you would wave aromatic things in front of the chola to lift their spirits, make them feel better. Umolalo, and you could roll it. And I will say what that means. When you roll it, what they would do is they would roll it between their fingers to try to release some of the fragrance. Umololo, umariachbo, and you could smell it. Below yikdemenu lahariachbo. But what you shouldn't do is you should not like clip the edges of it in order to go ahead and increase the fragrance. And so look at Rashi just a moment. Below yikdemenu lahariachbo. Shiyehe makom haketim alach. Because also by cutting the edge, what you would do is you would allow that part to be moist. You cut that part of the branch, you allow it to be moist. Varecho nodef, and the fragrance is a little bit stronger. Gezero delolesi lakot mo lachtos boshinov. The hasam kli mashila v'ikis yodorais. Because I will say, what's the concern? We don't want you clipping the edges. Why don't we want you clipping the edges? Because if we allow you to clip the edges to release the scent, what may you do? You may clip the edge in order to fashion it into a toothpick. And fashioning it into a toothpick ultimately, again, is an issue of creating a kli on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, if you went ahead and you did clip it, potter aval aser. So the truth is, again, lemaisa, it's potter. Why is it Pater Rashi? It's because you didn't do it with the intention of creating a utensil. You just did it to unlock some of the fragrance. Aval Aser, but Midrabbana, we don't want you doing it. Lachzos Boshinov, if your intention is to go ahead and actually make a toothpick, Lo Yiktmenu, then you may not clip it, meaning don't do it. And if you did it, Chayiv Chatos. Oh, Shabosa, if you went ahead and you clipped the edge in order to go to make a toothpick, and your intention was what? To make a toothpick, you're chayiv chatos. You're chayiv a carbon chatos because lemaisa, again, you fashion the cleat. You know, out of all the things to go to Gehenna for, you know, this just does not seem worth it. In any event, so the Gemara says, so the idea is over here, if you're going ahead and you're clipping the edge, so both say, I want to be clear. Chayiv chatos, by the way, means you're doing this b'shogeg. Obviously, we're not talking about a case of mason, not intentional. Person didn't realize what they did until after they did it. So, but again, in this case, my intention, so remember, case number one is, my intention was not to make a toothpick. Why am I clipping the edge? Just the smell, to amplify the smell. So that's putter. You didn't do anything. Aval aser, midrabanan, please don't do it. However, again, if your intention, you clipped in order to go ahead and make it into a toothpick, then lemais again, you are fashioning a kli. That's going to be aser midrabanan. And if you did it, you're chayv achatos amalei. So I'll say, listen to this. So now remember, Rav Kahana is raising this kasha to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, I will say, now what's the kasha? Remember, Rav Yehuda said that any item that animals eat for food is not subject to the laws of being, and you can't fashion it into a kli. It's because it's soft, it can't be fashioned into a substance kli. So Rav Kahana brings this case. Why is he bringing this case? Because many of these atzei besamim are edible by animals. And yet, what do you see from here? That lemaisa, if you fashion it into a toothpick, you are what? You are chayv for fashioning a kli on Yom Tov or on Shabbos for that matter. So Rabbi Yehuda responds, Amalei hashta pato aval osr kakashili chayv chatas mi boy. So Rabbi Yehuda kind of jokes around a little bit. He says, Rav Kahana, listen, you know, you had me already on the first part. I remember because the kasha is already there even on the first case of pato aval osr. All the more so the kasha is on Rabbi Yehuda by the case of chayv chatas. So how does Rabbi Yehuda answer it? Ella Kitanya hahi bekashin. No. This brisa, when it's talking about these atzei besamim, is talking about plants or trees that are hard. Or in other words, they're not fit for animal consumption. Because they're harder and not fit for animal consumption, yes, even I would agree that what? That they are subject to the potential laws of creating a kli from them. And therefore, if you were to clip it with the intention of going ahead and making a toothpick, I would agree, says Rabbi Yehuda, that you would be chayiv chatas. The only time I said that you're not chayiv for fashioning a kli out of animal food is when it's real animal food, soft animal food, where anything you fashion by definition is temporal. So the Gemara says, Kitanya yibikashin, kash, so the Gemara says, but could that be? Kashin b'nei malilaninu? But that can't be why, because what was the case of the Brisa Rabbi Osai? The Brisa said that you could also take the aromatic wood, and what can you do? You could roll it between your fingers to release the aroma. If something was really hard, that wouldn't work. That only works with a soft substance. So what's going on over here? To which the Gemara says, Chisrei Master Ba'achi Katoni. In reality, the Brisa is missing a part, and here's how it should read. So the Gemara, Ba'achi Katoni. Molilo umariachbo. On Yom Tov, Shabbos, you're permitted to go ahead and take this aromatic wood, and you can roll it, and you could smell it. Komto umariachbo. Similarly, you can go ahead and what? You could clip the edges. Kotmo. You could go ahead and clip the edges and smell it as well. But medram amurim, when is that true? Berachin. That's only true if what? If it's a soft material. However, again, or a soft, you understand, soft atzei besamim. Ava bekashin. But again, if it's harder, lo yikdmen. Because I will say again, the assumption over here is if it's soft, then lemaisa, like Rami Huda said before, it's not subject to the laws of creating a kli. But if it's kashin, if it's harder, lo yikdmen, you may not clip it. Ve'im kitmo patra aval aser. And if you did clip it, but your intention of clipping it was why? Was to release the scent. Then it's potter, you're not chayiv anything, but it's aser midrabanan. However, lachzos boshinav, but if you clipped it with the intention of making it into a toothpick, lo yikdmeni, you may not clip it for the sake of making it into a toothpick, vim kitmo, and if you did it, chayiv chatos, you would actually be chayiv chatos. So we'll say again, according to this version of the Braisa, lemaisa, again, Rabbi Yehuda's discussion is Davka talking about Michael Behema, that's rachav, that's soft, and the Braisa that says that even this atzeb is something subject to the laws of making into a kli, so it's something that's kasha, that's harder. So Tani Chada, We have one braisa that says kotmo umariachbo. One braisa that says that you're permitted to clip it in order to go ahead and smell it. The tanya idach lo yikdemenu lahariachbo. They have a contradicting braisa that says you may not clip it even in order to smell. So we'll say there are two different versions now. In one version it said if your whole intent is just to smell it, then you can clip it. In the other version it said no, even if your intent is to smell it, then what, you can't clip it. And if you did it, what? Patal aval aser. On Rabbi Zeira of Chistalo Kasha. It's not a contradiction. Habirakin, habikashin. Everything depends on the nature of the atzei b'samim. If the atzei b'samim are rakin, if it's soft, then lemais again, we would say you can clip it in order to go ahead and smell it. However, again, if it's harder, if it's thicker, then lemais again, you would not be able to clip it, even if your intent is just to go ahead and be able to smell it. Mas kifler of Achar bar Yaakov. So Achar bar Yaakov raised the kasha. Bekashin amaylo. So why is it that by the let's say the thick or the harder atzei b'samim that you may not go ahead and clip it even for fragrance, right, even to smell it? So the Gemara says ma'ishna mehad, this is not, why is this different than another case? After all, we learned shover adam esachavis le'echom mimena grogros. So we'll say this actually gets into an interesting sugya, which is not a topic for today, which is the notion of opening cans and bottles on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Gemara says over here that Lamaisa, you can go ahead and break a barrel in order to get to the grogros. So grogros are dried figs that are within it. So you could break the barrel in order to get to the dried figs. Look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says over here, Vatran Shover Adam Chavis Megufa. Now, this is talking about a barrel that has a sealed lid on it. Sheesh ba grogros, but the barrel has the dried figs. I want to get to the dried figs. Ba'ochal, obilvad shelo yiskamein liyapos hashvira lihios la lepeh shetehe od kli. And I will say, so what does the Gemara say? You can go ahead and break open the barrel as long as your intention is not to fashion a permanent or perfect opening. So as long as your intention is not to create an opening, then the mice, again, you're permitted to go ahead and smash the barrel open in order to get to the grogros. As long as your intent is what? Is not to go ahead and fashion a particular opening. Va'od, furthermore, ha'rova barav adda, v'rabin barav adda, d'amri tarbayu. They both said, ki avinon be'rabi Yehuda, when we were in the house of Rabbi Yehuda, hava mifasheach v'yohev lon alusa alusa. He used to go ahead and take a large piece of wood, like a large branch, large piece of wood, and strip off the branches from it and give us each larger pieces of wood. Now look at Rashi. Hava mefashech lon minatlushin. He would rip off the branches from an already detached piece of wood. Alusa maklos gidolin. Kimo velo ba'ala velo baromach. So again, so he would give us these large pieces of wood. Afagav dechazya lekasasa denargin. Dechatsine, even though again these pieces of wood would what? Would lemaisa be usable for the handle of an axe or for the handle of a pick? The Rabbos say, what's the common denominator over here? The common denominator over here is, you got finished telling me before that you can't go ahead and clip off the top, let's say, of the atzei b'samim kashim. The atzei b'samim, the aromatic branches that are hard. Why? Because there's a concern that you may make it into a kli. So the Gemara says over here, it's clear from these cases that as long as your intent is not to make a kli, it shouldn't be a problem. I mean, just like you can go ahead and open up the barrel, as long as what? Your kavanah is not to make a kli. And here we have, who was it who was ripping off the branches? Rav Yehuda is ripping off the branches off the large piece of wood, even though technically speaking now, that large piece of wood could serve as a handle for an axe or for a pick, but he was doing it, why? Because that wasn't his intent. So you see from here that as long as your intent is not to fashion a kli, even if what you're making could technically be a kli, it shouldn't be a problem. To which the Gemara says, Lokasha, Ha Rabbi Elazar Harabanan. Two different opinions. This Sanya, Rabbi Eliezer Elazar says, Nota Adam Kisei Mishalafanav, Lachzos Boshinav. Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi said that in general, wood is permitted for whatever use you want it. As long as it's, again, as long as it's the wood that's before you, or as long as it's the wood that's in your chatzer, you're permitted to go ahead and use that wood, even to go ahead and as a toothpick. The Chum say, Lo Yitol Elame Avos Shal Behema. You may only use the wood that is in the trough of the animal. Look at Rashi. Lo yita ela mina avo shabehema. The davar haray lachila muchan hu lechol tzorah. Because Rabbi say, I guess in the trough of an animal, the animal feed, sometimes little pieces of wood would get mixed in that the animal would eat. Animal would eat, meaning it's insignificant. So the Chachamim hold that any food, any item that is prepared for consumption is permitted for any purpose. Aval itzim, hoil v'darkon, lidavar ha'asr, kagol nasos kelim, lo etil etalpon el lahasaka. So we'll say again, this is the same dispute in the Mishnah. So Elazar says that wood has other purposes other than kindling, and therefore again, l'maisa would be permitted for use on Yom Tov. And on the other hand, the Chachamim say no, only wood in general will be prohibited for use, except for kindling. But anything other than kindling will be prohibited because it may lead you to ultimately use to fashion kalim. And the only wood that you can get other kind of use from is what? The wood that's in the trough of the animal. Therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here is that these two opinions are reflected in the practices previously stated. Therefore, the Maisa, again, Rabbi Yehuda, when he's pulling off the branches, is really aligning himself with Rabbi Eliezer, not like the Chachamim. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, v'shavin, and both agree, both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim agree, v'shavin, shelo yiktemenu, v'im kitmo, that's what? That you should not clip off the edge of aromatic wood. And if you did go ahead and clipped it, v'im kitmo lachas boshinov, if you clip the edge in order to fashion into a toothpick, v'liftoach bo hadeles, or to fashion into a cleat, to pick a lock. So meaning your intention over here is you wanted to intentionally fashion it into a kli. What is the halacha b'shogeg? And assuming you did this unintentionally, b'shabbos chayiv chatos, b'chayiv chatos. If you did it on Shabbos b'shogeg, you are chayiv chatos. B'mezid b'yomtov, and if you did it intentionally on Yom Tov, sofeg es harbaim, you get malkis, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. V'cham nechachamim say, ze echad ze ve'echad ze, eina ela mishum shavos. And the Chacham, on the other hand, say that both of these items are only considered to be what? A dirabanan. Because their logic is that the act of clipping off the top is only what we call kila achrayat. It's a shinui. It's not a normative type of fashioning of a utensil. And therefore, again, it's only asr midirabanan. Rabbi Eliezer de Ka'amar Hassam, chayiv chatos. Rabbi Eliezer de Ka'amar Hassam, chayiv chatos, hacha pater. So we'll say, therefore, the Gemara just aligned the shittos. Rabbi Eliezer, who said Hassam over there, that's by the case of the utensil, who says that Shechayiv Chatos, will say over here, Hacha is the case of the fragrance, will say Pater Aval Aser. Rabbanon de Ka'amri Hassan, the Rabbanon who ruled in the case of the utensil, Pater Aval Aser, will say Hacha, will say over here by the case of the fragrance, Mutar Lechatchila. So the Gemara said, Veleslei, the Rabbi Eliezer, Hadisnan, Shover Adam es Achavis Lechom en Ogrogros, but does Rabbi Eliezer not hold of what we said before, that a person is permitted to go ahead and open up the barrel in order to get the grogros, as long as your kavana is not to go ahead and fashion a kli? Look at Rashi. Blessed Rabbi Eliezer. Understand, in Rabbi Eliezer's position, if your intention is to go ahead and fashion a kli, so that is asr midoraisa. That is asr midoraisa. So we would assume that when you have intention to fashion a kli, it's asr midoraisa. We would assume that in a case even where it's not your intention to fashion a kli, it should still what? It should still be asr midorabanan. Yet, what happens? Yet, the Braisa said before, the Mishnah said before, that you can go ahead and open up the barrel with the grogros, as long as what? As long as your kavana is not to create an opening. So really what the Gemara is asking over here is, even if your kavana is not to create an opening, should that not still be asr midrabanan, lest you come to fashion an opening? To which the Gemara says, Ravashi ki tanya hahi. According to Ravashi, so we see this, Ravashi answers, what is that price talking about? Bimustaki. Oh, it's talking about mustaki. So what does that mean, mustaki? Look at Rashi. Bimustaki, chavis shavura, Shemedapkin Shivareha Bisraf Shal Eitz. We're talking about again a barrel that was already broken and literally was like glued together with Straf Shal Eitz, is sap. So it was glued together with sap. Or in other words, we'll say, what does this mean? You're not talking about a good barrel over here. There's already a barrel that was broken and already put together maybe one or two or how many times. Therefore, when you open it, you're not worried about preserving the barrel. in such a situation like that, we know that when you open it, what are you going to do? Effectively, you're going to destroy it. That's effectively what happens. And therefore, there's no concern that a person is going to go ahead and actually go ahead and create an opening. Thank you. A little bit weiter. Megavi min ha-chatzer. You could collect it from the chatzer. Remember, this is the position of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah said that that all the wood that's in your chatzer is considered to be prepared for use. So the Gemara says, Megavi min ha-chatzer. Tana Rabbanan. Megavi min ha-chatzer. Umadlik shekomashe be-chatzer. Muchan hu. O bilvad shelo ya'aset siburin siburin. So you could go ahead and you can gather everything you want. You could take whatever you want from the chatzer is usable, as long as what? You may not create piles. Why? What's the issue with creating piles? The issue with creating piles, it looks like you're repairing it for the next day's use as well. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Matar, Rabbi Shimon says it's permitted. But my kamiflegi, what are they arguing about? Mar savar mixi to kamach niflamachar. So Rabbi Lezer holds that the act of gathering it looks like you're preparing it for tomorrow's use. Mach niflamachar lemachina. Umar savar, and apparently Rabbi Shimon holds, and very often people would cook in their chatzer. So Shimon says, if you're cooking in your chatzer and you're making a barrel of wood, then the fact that you're cooking on the chatzer shows what? That the pile of wood that you're preparing is really for what? Is for today's act of cooking. Okay, one more piece. You may not go ahead and create fire on Yom Tov. Why not? My taimo mishum de kamolid bi Yom Tov, because you are creating something new on Yom Tov. Now, both sides. That's what Rashi in the Mishnah said as well. I'll just tell you quickly, just very quickly. The Rambam, this is in Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph says, Shelo Hutter B'Yom Tov El Lahavi Meish Mitzuya. You cannot go ahead and kindle a new fire on Yom Tov. Rather, on Yom Tov, you can only go ahead and light something from an existing flame. Why? Aval Laham Tzi'ej, to create a new fire you can't do, Shari Efshar Laham Tzi'osa Miba Erev. Because you could have done it on Erev Yom Tov. So the Rambam seems to feel that creating fire is an act of machshirei ochel nefesh, is not direct food preparation, but rather a preparatory act that allows you to engage in food preparation. And any preparatory acts must what? Must be done prior to Yom Tov. So remember, you can light a fire just as easily on Erev Yom Tov with the same qualitative results. Therefore, it's machshirei ochel nefesh. Therefore, you have to do it before Yom Tov. And that seems to be the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. The Shulchan Aruch says, this is in Siman Tov Kuf Bei Sif Aleph, Ein Motzin Eish, you may not create fire. Lo min ha'itzim, v'lo min ha'avonim, v'lo min ha'ofar, v'lo min ha'mayim, v'ein osif v'cham. So again, you can't create fire on Yom Tov. Why not? It says the Mishnah Berurah, Michum Mishum Shebechol Eilu Hu Molid Eish B'Yom Tov, because you're creating fire. What's wrong with creating fire? Hoyil v'efshar laham tzi eish me'erev Yom Tov. Because fire could have been made on Erev Yom Tov, Shemuchan lo b'Yom Tov, therefore, lo hutter lo holy b'Yom Tov, you cannot create fire on Yom Tov, the lo adif mishare machshirin she'efshar la'asos mibo'od Yom Tov da'asar. Because it's no different than other cases of machshiri ochol nefesh that could have been done prior to the same qualitative results. And I will say, I just want to point out to you, that's not Pashup Pshat in the Gemara. Pashup Pshat in the Gemara is that what's the issue with fire? No lot. Going back to the beginning of the Masechta, so this is a fundamental achlokes aposkim as to what the issue with creating fire on Yom Tov is, and there are many nafkaminas. I'll give you a perfect example. So I will say, let's say I light my fire on Yom Tov, and then what? And then it goes out. Am I permitted to relight it on Yom Tov? It would appear, according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, that what's the answer? Yeah. Yes, because no different, Rabbi Yosef, in the same way I have to sharpen my shechita knife, right, but on Erev Yom Tov, but if my shechita knife gets nicked on Yom Tov, I'm permitted to go ahead and sharpen it again. Because Lamaisa, I did my makshirin, but now, so that's what it sounds like. But many poskim disagree with that because of the Nola piece. So halacha lamaisa, we would not relight an extinguished fire on Yom Tov, but what we would do would be to allow explicit amira l'nochri. I would be permitted to ask a Gentile, non-Jew, to relight that fire for me on Yom Tov, and I don't even have to go ahead and use any kind of hindi. Wow, really nice to have a fire in here. Right? You could go right ahead and ask the non-Jew straight out to go ahead and light the fire for you on Yom Tov, since Lamaise, according to many poskim, you'd actually be permitted to relight it yourself. All right. I'm sorry? Transferring fire is, because that's coming from an existing flame. We're talking about lighting a brand new flame.
So if your fire went out and you took fire from another fire and put it on there,
totally fine, absolutely.
Then you have to go out. The end of recording.
I'm sorry.
Recording. Well, I think it recorded. Transfer from one place to another. If you got a fire, you can go light another fire. Pilot light. I would just restart the computer later.
Yeah.
It's probably just
usually happens on Fridays. I actually meant to do it yesterday. No, because it's on the whole week. I'm saying I never like. Okay.
Oh, that's.